The annual Frankfurt Book Fair is a global jamboree of self-expression. The world's authors and publishers arrive with poetry, fiction, science, and business texts that map to the remarkable range of human talent. Welcome to Copyright Clearance Center's podcast series. I'm Christopher Keneally for Beyond the Book. Book fair organizers this year have recognized that the book world rests on a foundation of freedom of speech. In a world where the liberty to speak one's mind is not always and everywhere secure, the book fair has made itself a refuge. Andrew Albanese has seen all of this at several events throughout the book fair, and he joins me now as he does every week on Beyond the Book. And Andrew, good to see you here in Frankfurt.
Good to see you as well, Chris. Greetings.
So what we've got to talk about here is the remarkable emphasis on politics that has bubbled up at a variety of events that you've been a part of, and really the declaration that the book fair organizers have made that this is, as I said, a refuge for freedom of speech. And we'll start with that. There was a front page story in the PW Daily about the plight of Turkish authors and publishers. Tell us more.
Indeed. I think this fair has been probably the most political fair in over the last decade, at least the last decade that I've been coming to the Frankfurt Book Fair. And really it kind of started last year when Salman Rushdie made his appearance here. There's a ton of security around his visit. The Iranian publishers all pulled out. And last year, Jürgen Booz, the director of the Frankfurt Book Fair, made clear that he was going to use the Frankfurt Book Fair as a platform for free speech. And he certainly had the chance to this year. As you mentioned, there was a great issue with the Turkish publishers and writers this year. Following a failed coup in Turkey in July of this year, the Erdogan regime has been cracking down on Turkish publishers. Upwards of 30 publishers have been closed. Thousands of people, authors, academics, have been thrown in jail or have lost their jobs or otherwise being threatened. It is a really tense time. And at the opening press conference at Frankfurt and at a number of sessions throughout the fair, fair organizers and people at the fair have stood for Turkey and have been standing with Turkey. In fact, Stand By Us, the other Turkey, pleaded exiled Turkish journalist and newspaper editor Can Dündar, who was here on hand garnering support and telling people about the situation that is going on in Turkey.
And you know, the thing is that only 8 years ago, Turkey was the guest of honor. Every year at the Frankfurt Book Fair, there's a national guest of honor. Turkey was here as the guest of honor, and Erdogan, Prime Minister Erdogan, was there and joined by the Nobel laureate Pamuk. So really, there has been a rather sad decline in the opportunity for Turkish authors and publishers to reach a global audience.
Well, it's stunning. You're absolutely right. Just think about that. Just 8 years ago, Erdogan was on stage here at the Frankfurt Book Fair, and now he's engaging in a massive act of censorship and hurting political enemies back home. It's a stunning turn of events. And one of the things that Jürgen has said, Jürgen Booz, is that it's 2016, and it's incredible that freedom of speech issues are getting worse in some cases and not better. And it's not just Turkey. You think of the whole damn world seems to be losing its mind. We've had the Brexit vote last year. That's been a point of contention here this year. And you've also got the election in the United States, which the Europeans, I have to say, are quite concerned about the rise of Donald Trump and the movement that Donald Trump represents. So not just Turkey. It's all over the world right now.
I could back you up on that, at least around the Brexit point. I've seen a number of publisher presentations where they have really taken pains to be clear that they are open for business with the rest of the world, that while Brexit may mean the UK gets out of the EU, it doesn't mean that UK-based publishers are getting out of the global book business.
It's going to be a really interesting couple of years for British publishers, and there are both good and bad aspects to this, which we've seen from the business here at the fair. And of course, none of the publishers that I've spoken to support the Brexit. They're all horrified by it. But the weaker pound has made for some better dealing, shall we say, for some of the fairs. There's been essentially a 20% drop in the pound. It's near probably the lowest I've seen the pound in my lifetime. And that's been sort of like having a 20% discount off your books here if you're a British publisher. So you may actually see an uptick in British rights dealing thanks to the weaker pound, which would be the upside of the Brexit. But you know, as you say, most British publishers are quite horrified, and I think it's the uncertainty of what happens next that really has tinged hinged their work here.
One of those British publishers is the president of the IPA, Richard Charkin, and you and I were both at an event where he spoke about his role at IPA and some of the things that IPA sees as troubling and of concern for publishers. They talked about freedom of speech, and he was challenged a number of times about the admission of China and Saudi Arabia as full members within IPA, and he seemed to push back on the idea that this was a way of condoning supporting those regimes. Tell us more.
Yeah, I agree. I thought that was a very interesting talk that Richard gave. Just at the London Book Fair this past April, he was called out from the stage for supporting the memberships of China and Saudi Arabia. And Richard Charkin made two really good points, I think, yesterday. And the first was that publisher associations, more specifically, are members of the IPA, not countries. So it really does not cast any sort of legitimacy on an odious regime just because you let their publishers in. And indeed, his point was that engaging with these publishers is better than not engagement. You know, if you have somebody who comes and listens and learns and you listen and learn from them, that engagement is probably going to lead to more breakthroughs than just not dealing with them whatsoever. I'm not sure he changed many minds. I think a number of people are still very concerned about human rights abuses and censorship issues in China and in the Middle East. But he made a good argument.
On another level of engagement, one of the special guests this year was David Hockney, the artist. And there's a man who engages with the world, with everything he sort of sees and touches. He seems to really have a reaction to it and find some use for it. And most recently engaged with the iPad and has produced a remarkable body of work that is produced through the iPad and now published in a very special book edition. And he has been speaking about his love of this technology and just the way that even as a man now approaching 80 years of age, he's thoroughly engaged with the world, with art, and with publishing.
Hockney was one of the highlights of my Frankfurt Book Fair experiences that I've ever had, to be perfectly honest. He gave this really sparse talk at the opening session that was him sitting there narrating and as his iPad played back drawings that he had done. But it was a very powerful talk because one of the major themes for Frankfurt over the past few years, and very, very heavily this year, was that technology is changing the way we create and experience art. And you take somebody, a 79-year-old painter and visual artist, David Hockney, the iPad rekindled his love of drawing. And he was demonstrating how, the tools are going to change, but art at its essence is the same. And Jürgen Boos at the opening press conference also made the point that it's about stories, that it's about how we communicate, and that we really have to push ourselves to adapt to these new tools. And we might surprise ourselves just how effective they are. This year at the fair, after many years of talking about multimedia and different tools, you've really seen it in practice. There are a number of new startups here that have launched very innovative augmented reality projects and virtual reality projects. And you just really get a sense that, you know, how we tell stories in the future with all the tools that we now have at our disposal is going to change. And Frankfurt wants the book industry to be not only there, but on the cutting edge of that.
I saw something that really, I think, is there on that cutting edge, and I'm still sort of puzzling it out. I walked through the Hall 3, where the German publishers are, and was surprised to find a small stand from Korea, and they were showing something called a sound pen, which apparently has taken Korea by storm, but it's a pen that interacts with some kind of special board and will play the words of a story or will play video. It's for children. But it really is something that you look at first and you don't quite grasp it, but you think, well, if a two-year-old gets it, maybe there's something in it. So we are seeing, even today, and people are wondering, what's the next best thing? I'm not sure it's the sound pen, but certainly something circulating around this book fair is going to be the big thing in a very short period of time, I think. Obviously, one of the reasons people come to the Frankfurt Book Fair is to do deals, and you've got some word on some of the bigger deals as well.
You can check out Monday's issue of PW for a roundup of some of the big deals here. But there were a number of major deals here this year. There was a fantasy series that was sold. It's a YA trilogy called Ash Princess. It was acquired by Delacorte Press. There's a National Book Award winner, Alan Burdick, who's a science writer and a senior writer at The New Yorker, has his first book in 10 years. His first book, which was published in 2005, was called Out of Eden, An Ecological Invasion. And it was a National Book Award finalist and won him a number of other other awards. And now he's back with an examination of time and how we all perceive time. It's being published by Simon & Schuster in, I believe, January of this year. It sold German rights here, and there's a couple of other deals that are cooking for it now. But it's one of the nonfiction books I'm really looking forward to. And, you know, I think more so than any specific rights, the volume of rights dealing at the fair continues to rise. Now, I know there are those who doubt that the Frankfurt Book Fair remains as vibrant as it ever was when it comes to dealing, just because we're not seeing those big deals like we used to anymore. But once again, the Rights Center, the Litag, as they call it here, is sold out. It has a record number of agents. I think over 700 agents came this year, and it was jam-packed outside the whole time. You're seeing a lot more rights dealing between countries within Europe than you have in the past. It's extending beyond territories to language rights and all kinds of multimedia rights. You have film here. You have across an entire spectrum of medium now, you're seeing rights being dealt at the Frankfurt Book Fair. So while, you know, I know Publishers Lunch had a graph showing that deal making was actually down this year, it doesn't really feel like it here at the fair. Maybe fewer deals are reporting to Publishers Lunch this year. Maybe the deals that are being made among European partners and among multimedia are not reporting. But overall, you're not going to convince me that right dealing is not up this year. It certainly, from all the numbers and the buzz here, looks to be quite brisk.
We both agree that Wednesday, the first day of the fair, seemed to be a little bit quieter than we would have expected. But as people can judge by the background sound here in Hall 6, there's a lot going on, and we appreciate chatting with you about it. And that book about time does sound intriguing, but it's time for us to go. Andrew Albany, senior writer of Publishers Weekly, thanks for joining us on Beyond the Book.
My pleasure, as always, and I will see you face-to-face in Miami soon enough.
That's right, indeed, and we'll be telling our audience about that in the coming weeks. Coming up on Monday's episode of Beyond the Book, recorded live at the Frankfurt Book Fair, copyright clearance at its annual town hall on open access. Vitek Trost, the founder of Biomed Central, who has been called the Picasso of publishing, told me how science and publishing have a conflicted relationship.
In life sciences, which is where I mainly work, there continues to be a real tension between scientists and publishers. And in general, scientists are very suspicious and have a complicated and problematic relationship with many publishers. And, you know, famously, some of the big publishers are really difficult one.
That's Vitek Trost coming up on the next episode of Beyond the Book. Beyond the Book is produced by Copyright Clearance Center with its subsidiaries RightsDirect in the Netherlands and Ixis in the United Kingdom. CCC is a global leader in content workflow, document delivery, text and data mining, and rights licensing technology. You can follow Beyond the Book on Twitter, like us on Facebook, and subscribe to the free podcast series on iTunes or at our website, beyondthebook.com. Our engineer and co-producer is Jeremy Brisky of Burst Marketing. I'm Christopher Keneally. Join us again soon on Beyond the Book.